Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 61. On the way again, let's check out our bodies. Today is Friday, August 22nd, 2008. Are you out of control?
Control, 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 control
there was all kinds of clapping, 10 minutes worth, so I had to cut that out. That was none other than the Rolling Stones. I'll put a link in the show notes. Out of Control. They're live. No security. Wait, let me pinch myself. Yeah, I'm alive. And this is the podcast, Tongues of Fire. Thank you for joining me. I am Janine Arnopoulos, your hostess with the mostess. And I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's message was originally recorded February 3rd, 1985. Yes, that's 23 years ago. And when you listen to it, it's just like today. You will get a lot out of it. You can subscribe to the podcast at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find the show notes, scripture links, so be sure to check that out. Comments you can make at the blog as well. So if you want to make a comment, go ahead, just fill in the blanks. And you can also call our comment line, which is 1-715-808-0318, or you can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. We also have a web page, which is a website in development, and that address is www.pastorpaul.org. So be sure to go to the website. Up at the top of the page, you're going to see interactive links to Flickr, the blog, the podcast, the store, which is in reconstruction as well. Let's see what else. YouTube. So be sure to check out the interactive links, and that will keep you busy until we get our store ready and do a little bit more with the website, which I'm working on that right now. My one of many hats that I wear here at Pastor Paul's Mission. If any of you, by the way, would like to volunteer your time, or maybe you have some good ideas, or maybe you just want to put some community service sweat time in, give me a call. You can do that on the comment line, as a matter of fact. Just say, Janine, I know that you're so busy with so many different things that you need my expertise in this, this, and this. And I would love to help you, and I will help you. I will help you. I won't just say that I'm going to volunteer, but I never do. I will actually do something for you, Janine. I would love to get that comment, believe me. Okay, how did you like the opening song? It fits the message, Out of Control. And basically, after that song, how many of you would love to learn how to play the harmonica? You know, let's face it, this man plays a harmonica unbelievably. And the harmonica, when you think about it, I think I'm going to have some harmonicas at the store. Because let's face it, the harmonica, you can have it, you just throw it in your pocket. So, I mean, a harmonica would be like good for everybody. You know, let's say you're a hobo, you know, and you're just trying to jump a train. You got your harmonica in your pocket, you jump the train, you do a little harmonica, you know, you're by yourself probably until you meet some other hobos, and then, you know, you can entertain yourself. Or let's say you're a small person. Now, when I was in the sixth grade, I took music lessons. And I had to play the trombone because that was the only instrument left. So, you know, I was quite short. And so seventh position with the trombone and my arms, I had to use my feet. So to make a long story short, the harmonica now, I could have just, you know, that would have been easy. So the harmonica, I think we need those on the website. Anyways, Out of Control. Lord, help me now. How about that? A cry for help, which we all need to do. And I'll tell you, Out of Control yesterday, that was the song for me. Out of Control. Ooh, I received the call. Now, I don't mean the call to serve God. I mean the call. You know, one of those calls that gets your goat. And let me tell you, for those of you who are not familiar with farm animals, okay, a goat is very different than a little lamb. Well, the call got my goat, and I had to cry out and say, Lord, help me now, because this old girl, she was out of control. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyways, this message has a lot to do with your body. I'm going to tell you a few points here. Present your body as a living and holy sacrifice, which is your spiritual service of worship. Okay, now that there tells you, answers a lot of questions like, should I go to church? Should I do this? Should I do that? Let me tell you this again now. Okay. Although you should come to the podcast, because otherwise you wouldn't even have heard this. But now listen, present your body as a living and holy sacrifice, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, yesterday, there's no way I could have presented my body, which includes my mind, as a spiritual, holy, and living sacrifice, because my mind and my attitude was not, there's, God would not accept it. He would say, okay, number one, Janine, I'm a loving God, and right now you are full of anger and hate. Okay, so I'm confessing this to you right now. It's true. It's true. Your fun-loving hostess with the mostess was in a bad way. She was out of control. All right, number two, you must have a body to be spiritual. So let's not deny that we have a body and that we're just perfect spiritual lights floating. No, we have a body. We have to deal with our body. So we have to have a body, so we have to deal with it. Number three, your mind. No, that isn't even number three. Number three is, see, I'm on the mind thing because that's where I need to deal, my mind. Jesus, help me with my mind. Okay. Number three, body is your temple. Your body is your temple. Okay. You are a walking, talking epistle, read and known by all men. Okay. You are. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? That's number four. Number five, I really like this. He really gets into about healing, which is what I've always been really interested in, nutrition, healing, and I've gotten more into it. That's going to be another thing on our store. I'm not to trying to plug the store because God only knows when it'll be up. But anyways, some of the items that we're going to have on this store are going to be like alternative healing products. Okay. But he talks about, which is just, this got me, materialists and mentalists. A materialist says that, you know, it's probably like your general physician that, you know, physically what's wrong with you has to do with physical things, your blood, your urine, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Mentalists, that's a little bit different. The mentalist says that your mental, where you're, what you're thinking has to do with your physical. Okay. Pastor Paul talks about how they're interwoven. Really, really good. Be sure to listen for that. It's number five. And then here's number six. What agreement does God have with idols? What agreement does God have with idols? And again, talking about sacrificing. Really, this is one of my favorite messages. I know I've said this many, many times because all of his messages, I learn something and get something out of them always. And I hope you do too. I hope you will share this with your friends to come to the podcast. I mean, some of your friends, they're not going to want to come to the podcast. So, you know, I can understand that. But you just never know. You just never know. You may think that, but you just never know. Anyways, next Friday, we will be back here at Pastor Paul's blog with show notes, the podcast, www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. What you should do is subscribe to the message and I hope you have a good week. I hope that when you are out of control, that you will pray, Lord, help me now. God bless you. And you can always pray for me. I always need your prayers. God bless you.
On the way again, let's check out our bodies. You see, on the way, we also have rules for the physical. And the physical factor is a very important, but not all important, so we must have balance. And so now today we'll get into the physical. Many physically healthy people are down. People with perfect bodies, and they're down. Many people who are bedridden live very full lives. Have people that paint with their teeth because they can't use their arms. Well, we have artists who use their arms and just grind their teeth in frustration. We have blind people that play guitars and accordions and laugh and joke and rejoice and are content. Well, then we have people with eyes that do nothing but complain. They may even have a musical ability, but they don't use it. Then again, we have people in wheelchairs, amputees, blind, retarded, many times have more love for God, more drive, more personality, are better company, are more appreciative, are good listeners, are you a good listener today? Sometimes even when you're preaching, people will get into private Bible studies. And they are more understanding than the supposedly well. Why? They were perfected through suffering. They were humbled to the point of really hearing. Oh, so many times we don't hear. We have to say, what did you say? And we really didn't hear it. Maybe you were sitting here today and you're way off someplace. Maybe you're at home with your roast beef that you shouldn't have put in the oven because this is going to be a long message. Lock the doors and close all the windows. Burnt roast beef. A lot of times we don't come to hear the word of God. We come so other people will see us. Hey, where were you? I was in church Sunday. Well, you were in church, but you were busy in church wondering where everybody else was. And so, okay, today let's enter a very, very important area, health. But it's not all important. Otherwise, how would we encourage the bedridden? I mean, I have to preach it real. And how would we encourage the blind and the amputees? How would we? You see, the body and the mind are so closely interwoven until one can't really say body and mind, but body-mind. You see, if the soul and the mind pass on their sickness to the body, then just as surely does the body pass on its sickness to the mind and the soul, and the whole person becomes sick. There is a spiritual implication here. You see, a body disease can be a symptom of something wrong in the spiritual. Some kind of a grieving in the spirit, some kind of a guilt, some kind of a throwback. But a soul disease, which we look upon as our whole problem, may be the physical part also. So on the way, we have to talk about these things because you're going to face them while you're on the way. So then some people are loading their souls with guilt, when it's not anything that they have done. It's physical. They're not eating right. They're not sleeping right. No exercise. They may have an infection, and these are all realities. Oh, but we don't want to face those kind of things, do we? Listen, if you don't eat and you don't sleep right, you are going to be spiritually depressed. Now, I know there's a lot of groups that sit over at the Pannekuchen or over at whatever cafe, Perkins. And they sit there all night talking about the Lord, and they get up and they're spiritually depressed. Why? They should have went to bed. Or they go out and there's some out there that have their little sips of wine, Christians. Now, I came out of alcohol, and I can tell you, it'll do you no good. How many are hearing this? You're going to be spiritually depressed. You're depressed anyway. I know when I got up and I had my head was about that big. I couldn't even get in the bathroom door to vomit. I was depressed. See, what we need to minister to people is a balance. You can't live on potato chips and Pepsi. It only produces oily skin and pimples. All right? There's got to be a balance here. And you can't live on peanut butter and jam because you'll get bound up. And you can't live on cake and pie and cookies, or you'll look like someone put a tire pump in your ear. Have you got me? Now I can talk that way because I have lost some weight, and I've been waiting for this message to come across me. Praise God, I was a blob. I ministered some few months back. I said, I'm going to lose weight so I can minister to the fat folks like myself. And you'll find that when we overeat, we get depressed and we eat more. Now, I know people are not going to like this message, and the Weight Watchers and all them folks. But it's because we are spiritually depressed that we eat. And then we eat more to get undepressed, and we get more depressed. Or we tell ourselves, well, I got to have a cigarette because, you know, that cigarette will just calm me down. And you get more nervous. I even heard a woman pray before she had a piece of cake, and she was from the Wonder of Wonders. The claimant wonders, the hyper faith group. Now I heard her pray like this: Lord, decalorate this cake. I claim it in the name of Jesus. Them calories had a right to be in that cake. They're going to stay there. You see what the unbalance is? Nonsense like that. See, our body needs care, and we're going out. We're dealing with street people all the time. Your body needs care. You need to bathe it. You need to put deodorant on so when you praise the Lord, people don't pass out next to you. Got it? That's the way I was. There needs to be balance. And a lot of times, preachers are afraid to preach something like this because they say, oh, that is not quite spiritual. And so they just go off and talk about each other. Boy, doesn't he stink? Okay. But our bodies need care. We need to bathe them. We need to deodorize them. We need to comb our hair. I know what you're thinking. And see, these are all things that we have to deal with in the church. We're going out into the streets. We have to cut our hair. We have to curl our hair. Not too long ago, well, I guess it is now, like 10 years ago, but I did have a message on check in your Pepsi bottles and comb your hair. It was to the wives that had all these millions of Pepsi bottles down inside the basement, and they had this old hair hanging down, and they had floppy slippers on, and they opened up the door and says, "Go get him, Tiger," and then flop back in bed again. But you need to dress up your body. Because if you feel good about yourself, physically it's going to show up. You go on in and take a real good bath, and I know now this tape's going to go all over to street people, which I was one of not too many years ago, 20-some years ago, 20, 30 years ago. Boy, the time goes, doesn't it? Well, you say, how old are you? None of your business. Old enough. But if you feel good about yourself physically, it will show up mentally. It will. You can't have a good outlook when you're not bathed and you're not trimmed and you're not ready and your clothes are all soiled. Because a bad self-image won't help you spiritually. And that's what's wrong. A lot of people got a real bad image of themselves. Oh, I'm so dumpy. And I'm so heavy. You can do something about that. You can stop eating. And they say, well, what is the secret to losing weight? Stop eating. But they never feel good about themselves. Oh, I just hate myself. I hear girls say, I hate my hair and I hate my nose and I hate this and I hate that. And they have a poor self-image of themselves. And so they have a problem spiritually. But when you do these things, do them for the glory of God and no other reason. Offer your bodies to God. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Spiritual service of worship. To give your body to God. Now, you were wondering why I was talking about the body when I come up here today. It's got a whole lot to do with you spiritually. You cannot be spiritual without a body. One needs the other. A lot of times we get so spiritual, we don't want to talk about our filthy flesh and our body, and we're just spiritual. You try to be spiritual without a body. But again, I'll mention this in Romans 12:1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You worship God in your body and with your body. Do you put your body into it? Are you bored? My God, there's so many people that are bored. Why? Because their body holds them back. They got a tired body. They got a grumpy body. They got a non-committal body. They got an ornery body. They got a rebellious body. They got an oh-shut-up body. And when you're ministering, preachers, listen to what I'm preaching here. You all know it's the truth. Start preaching the truth. When people get up and they're not right in their body, they cannot be spiritual. Try it sometimes. If you're sick, you're not going to be so spiritual. And if you're sick in your mind, you're not going to be so spiritual. And if you're full of resentments and hatreds and guilt, how can you be spiritual? Those are all things that you should give up. And when we, by the way, present our bodies to God, are they acceptable? Are they clean? God, here's my body, and that's a grubby looking thing. Oh my. Is it clean or is it dirty, uncombed, and smelly? A living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Well, isn't this sort of judgmental? No, it's just a correction and direction towards perfection. We're going to have to minister to folks. Clean up your act. All right. Is it a rested body? Is it a quiet body? Or is it a non-committed body, a bored body? You come to church to worship the Lord, you're supposed to put your body into it. When you play football and you got out there and say you didn't put your body into it, what good would you be out there on that field? You're in a contact sport here, folks. Contact. I mean, you have to make physical contact with people. And when you make physical contact, got the right shirt on there for this message. Good old 86 is sitting right up here in the front. You make physical contact by touching people. And what's in you when you're touching them? Meanness and madness and grief. Good grief. What's with it? Oh, and I know people will find something wrong with this message. My God, they always find something wrong with the truth. I don't care. Say amen, somebody. Amen. If I last through this message, praise God. If I drop dead, that's all right too. But if we don't minister the truth, whoever's going to get free? Oh, they're just going to sit around complaining. And that is not a body that God wants, a complaining body. But is it full of praise? Is it full of praise? Or is it grumbling? You know your body tells a picture? Did you know there's body action that tells a picture? I want to tell you, I'll show you a picture I like to see in church when people are on top of it and they're sitting up front like this, on the edge of their seats, or sitting up at least. Just sort of, oh God, another message. Might as well get comfortable because I know it's going to be a long one and it'll be boring. How do you know that? You've already set your mind. You've diseased your mind already. You try to disease the mind of others. Just by the way you sit. And even if I was to minister to someone right now, and you on the radio and on this tape, and I was giving out exactly the way that you're reacting in your body right now, sacrificing it as acceptable to God, it says, to sacrifice your body as a service of worship, you would not change your position because you're rebellious. Won't do it. And that's why you won't have freedom. Hearing this? But is your body full of victory? Or is it full of, you just can't win? No matter what you do, you can't win. God, I've tried everything. I've tried everything with that man. Tried everything with that woman. You just can't win. Who says so? Is your body full of joy? Or is it crying and is it complaining? Yeah, I know. Sometimes the messages are too real for people. But until we get into reality, you aren't going to see anything happen in the house of God. Absolutely nothing. You cannot be spiritual until you get your body ready for spiritual service. That body, by the way, has been urged in Romans 12 and 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. What did you do to your body last night that makes it so miserable today that it cannot serve God? Did you get it all full of kind of, nervousness and anxiousness and frustrated and all that? Those aren't a God. Woo! That's like someone comes into work and they're, oh, God, I'm so tired. And, you know, you're trying to get everything ready in there, right, Vernon? You're up in their kitchen, you're trying to get things ready and so on like that. Somebody comes flat-footing it in.
I'm so tired. Oh.
Huh? What kind of a service are they going to be? And when we go to our jobs, are they boring? What kind of a service are we to anybody? What kind of a body is that to present? And we are the body of Christ. What kind of a body is that to present to the world? You see, you call this Christianity? Ooh, what a sad-looking body. Who needs that? Isn't there a song like that? When a body meets a body coming down the road, coming down the way. When a body meet a body, what will that body say? Your body says something. It says, I'm tired, I'm aggravated, I'm defeated, I can't get the victory, I hate you. It's all right. In Hebrews 10, starting in verse 1, for the law, since it has only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never be the same sacrifices year by year which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers have once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sins? But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Oh, communion is so wonderful. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body. Hallelujah. But a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book, it is written of me. To do thy will, O God, after saying above sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. Oh, we would only say that. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Isn't that wonderful? In Ephesians 6 and 17, From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. How many are hearing this message today? The brand marks of Jesus. Well, that means you've been through the fire. That means you've allowed yourself to go on out and do a work for the Lord. Well, then we have the spiritual and the physical basis of health. And some say all diseases have a physical origin. They are the materialists. And some say all diseases have a spiritual or mental origin. They are the mentalists. And you know what? Both are half right. And I've contemplated this thing plenty because I have suffered over my ministry on account of this. Both, then, if they're half right or half wrong. And I believe both of them have filled the graveyards as a result of their half-truths. And when someone dies, one says he didn't eat good enough. He should have had yogurt and, you know, all them sorts of things, grains. Some of the sickest-looking people I know eat grains. They're so worried about getting sick, they're sick, and they're worried about getting sick. And then the other says he didn't have enough faith and trust in the Lord. And I believe a whole lot of people have died repeating the slogan that disease was all in their minds, and they gave it a positive confession. When a surgeon could have been a remedy to heal them that God had sent. Now, positive thinking is positively stinking, let me tell you something. Unless it's in the Lord. Are you hearing this? But also, I know this, and I'm thinking this right now, that there are a lot of bushels of teeth and tonsils that have been taken out of people that needed to be delivered from fears and from frustration and self-centeredness and resentments in order to be well. They have actually made themselves sick. You know that your bones and your teeth can actually ache from fears? You know you upset your whole physical makeup? And I see then that both positions have made for hypocrisy and are unnecessary. I died holding the truth. Too bad, you died with only half a truth. You had the other half of the truth, you would have been healed. And so I say today, in regards to all the confusion that's gone on about this, about going on the way here, and I'm talking about the physical harmony that you must have on the way, your bodies I'm talking about, let's then unite both these two half-truths and make a whole. And let's stop arguing about it. Because if you start to balance both positions, you'll find out it's about 50-50. For some people, they just, if someone was to take an aspirin, we'd just call them unholy. But I'm not going to let that upset my whole walk because somebody takes an aspirin or doesn't take an aspirin. All right? I think there's a whole lot of nonsense going on. Did you ever get physically sick from eating something? I remember years ago, we went up to Seattle. And this was 1969. And I was driving this great big old Cadillac hearse with a Volkswagen welded on top of it. It was 9 feet something tall. And we were winding, we were having such a wonderful time. We went into in Seattle, to a seashore place. Ocean place, and they had all these seafoods, and I just loved them. Now, I got a hold of a rotten oyster, and I ate that thing, and I got ill as ill could ever be. I turned green, and I was ill for the whole day. You remember that? And after that, for a while, I could not. Somebody would say oyster, and I go. Something like somebody scratching their fingernails down the chalkboard. But just when it was mentioned, years later, I would get... Or even if I thought about this oyster, I'd get... See, it was both physical, but then again, also, it was mental. See, you need both of them, the physically and mentally, and that's where you get the balance. Now, I had a friend of mine, he could not stand onions, so I would camouflage him. Red Watson. I'd camouflage him, and he loved goulash. So I'd fix this big tub of goulash, and I'd stuff it with onions, and I'd cut them up real small, and I'd camouflage it, salt and pepper, and oh, it was so good. Oh, he said that was good. I says, well, you know what you ate? There was onions in it. Oh, where's the toilet? Yeah! Spit, spit, yuck, yuck, tooey, tooey, you know. See, they must prove their point by becoming ill. And if this same person would have recognized he didn't get sick and let the physical evidence persuade his mind or his mental part, he would have had the victory. Hey, I don't have to get upset about this anymore. It's past. Sometimes we think of a situation in our life that was very traumatic, and so every time we think of that or read something in the paper or whatever, then we think, upset time. We don't have to do it. We have to recognize that we see things like that all the time or experience things like that all the time, and we still can have the victory. We are persuaded. The Bible says we are persuaded that he is able to keep us under that hour. Second Thessalonians 5 and 23 says, but examine everything, and this is verse 21 through 23, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, and listen very carefully, and your soul and your what? Body. Be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One depends upon the other. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your what? Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. You don't own yourself. You might think you... Do you want to own yourself? I don't. I was a very poor manager of my body and my mind and my spiritual. You cannot do it. For you have been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your what? In your body. Your body is the temple of God. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What is your body doing? When a body meet a body coming down the road. When a body meet a body coming down the way. What's that body got to say? How many are hearing this? 2 Corinthians 4 and 10 and 11. always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Listen. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our what? Body. And we don't want to talk about body. We just want to talk about spiritual things and pretend like the body isn't there. It's very important. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. Die daily. Sometimes I get so excited in what I'm doing, my Adam gets up and tries to help out Jesus. Oh, and then we'll do this, we'll do that. And That's all right to get excited, but ask the Lord first. You want me to plow here? That's like you send somebody out to plow. And you say, plow up that field over there. And then you got some little seedlings down here, and they're barely showing. And, well, he said to plow, so whatever. They plow up everything you're not supposed to plow up. Did you plow up something you weren't supposed to plow up last week? I did. See, a lot of times when we read Scripture, we just go off half-cocked. We say, oh, it says pick up the plow, and we don't even ask Jesus where we're supposed to plow. We get insensitive, and we plow right through people. Yeah. Are you hearing this? Now listen now. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Wow. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. Isn't that neat? If Jesus dwells in us and we take him around in our body, then he will dwell among them. But if we hide in our own little select group over here, are you hearing this? And we don't go out and glorify God in our bodies, how will he ever walk among them? And he says, I will be their God. And he says, I think I'll be their God. I will be their God. Now, when God says something definite, you can absolutely believe it's the truth. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Isn't that great? That kind of leaves you out of the thing. Aren't you glad? You're going to be my people. Now, a lot of talk has gone on about, well, if a person doesn't give his will over, God knows how to change your will. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And then 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the what? Body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. How many are hearing this message today? Talking about the body. Well, now there's a whole medical journal that you can read that comes out, and it talks about character effect And can the character affect the glands? That's kind of interesting to me. See, when they first found out the effect of the glands on people, they thought this was the answer to morality. Well, his glands are causing problems. And if their character was upset and there was this and that wrong, they decided the glands had everything to do with everything, and they thought they could change a man's moral character by changing the secretion of his glands. And so they went on to say that the character and morality must purely be of a physical origin. And they blamed murder and lust and hate and joy and sickness and health and everything else on good or bad glands. It's a glandular problem. Oh my. You see, this was most against Christianity. We say our morality comes from God. But now listen, there's a bigger truth here. How many are hearing this message today? I thought if the secretion of the glands determined the character, then the character determines the secretion of the glands. Because a man's mental and spiritual state, according to the Word of God, determines in what proportions his glands flow. The way that you are spiritually and the things that you do are going to affect the flowing of your glands, and that's the spiritual truth of it. And so we then must realize this fact that the unchristian mental and spiritual attitudes upset the proper secretion of the glands. If we live in a truly Christian way, our glands will work perfectly, because then we have Christian glands. The unchristian way, doubt and fear and hate and rebellion and selfishness and guilt and grieving will upset, excessive grieving will upset and unbalance your glands. You see, what I'm driving at here today is that there's a balance between the two. And we'll have to make the glands function naturally and in the right amount. God made your glands. And the Christian law and the Christian way, the law of love, when we obey the law of love, do you ever know how you get into a flow? And you get into a yippee! Because you feel good about yourself. And you get into the flow of things. And then you're made for giving. And you're made for forgiving. And you're made to work things out. And you're made to go through. And you're made for trials. And you're made for tribulation. And you're made to, God has had these things to build your character. And when you come out of the flow, your glands stop flowing. And you get in the dumps. And then we read all the time about grief and worry and anxiousness. And it causes the ulcers. How many are hearing this message today? My God, hear it. Bad blood. Then the world says there's bad blood between us, and they're right. Then the world says, you ever notice that guy? He's always got blood in his eye. There's something wrong there. And Psalm, listen to this, is beautiful. Please, let's don't have people running in and out of the church now. I want you to hear this. This is the balance. Lock the doors up now. I don't want all that. This is the devil. It gets people rising up and blowing their nose right in the most important, you know, if you blow your nose, blow it just naturally. Don't make a horn sound. You know what I mean? I think there needs to be correction in the house of God. Here's the guy. Yeah. Thought I'd mention that for the preachers about. Did that bother you, preachers? It does me, doesn't it? You? Yeah, it does. Okay. Now we got that settled. You see, some people make a production out of leaving, and some people make a production out of blowing their nose. How many are hearing this? Oh, I said it, and I'm glad. In Psalm 63, oh God, thou art my God. See, he has no problem here with the possession of God and who God is. Oh God, thou art my God. Oh, he's our God. I shall seek thee early and earnestly. Notice that he seeks him early. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And when you get up in the morning, give your body to God. Oh, get up in the morning and say, God, this is your body. Did you do that? If we give our body to God, when we get up in the morning, and we know the Word of God, and the Word of God is filling up that body, we're going to glorify God in our body, which is our natural. This is what we should be doing, to sacrifice our body to God. A fit body, one that isn't all tired out and boozed up and doped up, one that isn't all full of all kinds of sin, but a body fitly joined together for God. And when you please God, He's pleased with you, and He'll please you in your body. Oh God, Thou art my God. The atheist says, no God, and the heathen says, many gods. The believer says, oh my God, by a choice and by a covenant and by a confession. My soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh yearns for Thee. They're together. Did you get that? My soul and my flesh, they're one. You cannot separate the two. Oh, in a dry and a weary land, where there is no water. Oh, when you're thirsty, that's when you want God. But if you don't come to church and you're not thirsty, oh God, you could care less about it. You've had an argument with hubby. You've had an argument with your wife. Oh, this is wrong and that is wrong. You're not thirsty. But when you're thirsty for God, what a wonderful thing that is. It creates a desire within you to drink of the water. Hallelujah. There's got to be that thirst and a yearning both in the soul and in the flesh. And then only, do we become realistic Christians. How many are hearing this? Oh, I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I hunger and thirst after God. Thus I have beheld Thee in the sanctuary, to see Thy power and Thy glory. Ooh, hallelujah. Let me read another piece of scripture here. This is Psalm 31, 9 and 10. Be gracious to me, O Lord. No excuses. He's saying, Lord, I'm in trouble. When you know you're in trouble and you go, oh God, Thou art my God, you know God can take you out of trouble. So we go on here, and here we have him saying, God, I'm not going to make any excuses. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. My eye is wasted away, a physical malay, from my grief, sorrow. The another day. How's it going? What does that mean? Oh, listen. For my life is spent in sorrow, my daily occupation, and my years with sighing. Do you ever get into sighing? You know what? You could have the most complete chorus if you got all the sighers together. Sigh. Not spiritual enough for you? My God, it's hitting the truth though, ain't it? Say amen, somebody. Like me or not like me, it's the truth, and I know it because I lived through it, and I was a sire. My years, this person was well accomplished in sighing. My years was sighing. My strength has failed, and here he admits it, because of mine iniquity. He knows the reason, sin. Oh, that's old-fashioned talking about sin. Oh, no, it isn't. Is God old-fashioned? Don't you dare call him old-fashioned. He's the one that's keeping you breathing. Isn't there a song like that? I'm old-fashioned. Yeah. And my body has wasted away. There it is, the body. How many bodies are wasting away because they didn't give their body over to God when they got up in the morning, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and they're bored, and they're down, and they're blue, and they're thrown off this way by the hyper faith, and they claim it, and they say everything you say is a great big blobby bore because they don't want to face the reality of the thing. There's a balance in it. Get your body ready to serve the Lord by filling it up in the house of God, and when you get up in the morning, by praising him, hallelujah. And your body will be filled, a temple filled with the fullness of the God. Hallelujah. Oh, you say you're some kind of a nut. Yep, that's true. Agree with your adversary quickly while he's in the way. And there it is. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach of people. When you get on the way and you start to preach like what I'm preaching right now, you're going to cause some adversaries. Yes, you will. Especially to my neighbors. Ouch! There is nothing more horrendous than Christians that fall upon one another. An object of dread to my acquaintances. Now you, listen, on the way you're going to have this happen to you when you start to glorify God in your body and you get full of yippies and you get free in the spirit and you start offering your body as a sacrifice for the poor and for the hungry and for the maimed and the sick and the halt and the lame and offer them to come into the banquet table. There's something going to happen. And even your neighbors are going to despise you. Get ready for it. And we can be the most hideous. Those who see me in the streets, flee from me. Let a Christian pastor make a mistake. He might be way up there and done many, many beautiful things. Or a Christian. All the things he's done. Now he's not popular anymore. Those who see me in the streets flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Oh, that guy's crazy. You're crazy, John. Jay and Joy, you're nuts. Slander. And then I am like a broken vessel. Now, a broken vessel isn't any good. For I have heard slander of many. Now, when they start to slander and they really get vicious and you're broken, get ready for it because it's going to happen in the end times. I'm just giving you what's going to happen on the way. On the way again? It'll happen. And whilst you're on the way and the slander comes, it'll get louder. And so that you can actually hear it. And it will break you in your spirit. You know what happens when you get a broken vessel? Oh, God doesn't patch it up. He gives you a brand new one. For I have heard the slander of many and terrors on every side. You know when you hear slander, it's death to all comfort. No one can comfort you, and that's what's going to happen in the last day. No one will be able to comfort you while they took counsel together against me. They will have meetings, and I went to one yesterday where I had to say this is not the Christian way. All these allegations and all these things do not have to be made. Because it's only the truth that you have to put out there. And you can put it out in the way of a question to the person. Would you do this or would you do that? What would you do in our circumstances here? They scheme to take away my life. Of all the different fiends that I know that are out there in that hellish dungeons of hell, the most cruel is envy. Have you ever envied somebody? I have. Isn't it cruel? Maybe it's some cute girl, and all the girls, and this cute girl comes in, and she's lithe and willowy, and has hair going down, and she's just gracious and walks in, and all the girls look at her. Oh, she makes me sick. And then the teardown starts to come. Oh, God, we can be terrible, can't we? Can't we? That is not an acceptable body, by the way. But listen. But as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. Right in the middle of all that, you just remember the Lord. That's what gets your mind on Christ when persecutions and trials and all these things come your way and slander and all that. My God, you say, thou art my God. You're going to have to say that in the end times. Remember, on the way it's going to happen. Psalm 32, and I'm closing right now. Listen to it. How blessed. In the original Greek, we mentioned the blessed here. It means blessedness. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, this is not somebody that because they kept all the law and the whole law, they were forgiven. This is somebody that was a sinner, a horrendous sinner that was forgiven. How blessed and what blessedness it is for those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, my God. Now, this is just like the Sermon on the Mount. This is the blesseds. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, lawlessness, and in whose spirit there is no deceit in the guile. Whew. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. You better confess your sin. That's why you see me put up my hand all the time. That's why we have to raise our hands to the Lord and surrender. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. You want your body to waste away? Keep quiet about your sin. You want your body to be healed? Confess it to the Lord. And say, thou art my God. I'm a broken vessel. I'm sick. I need help, O Lord. God's going to say, check it out. And through my groaning all day long, for day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. You ever had the hand of the Lord on you and you won't confess your sin? My God, it just, ooh, you can hardly walk around. Stop it, Lord. Huh? Come on. You want to get healed? Say, oh, Lord, I'm wasting away. I got to confess this sin. I got to confess the sin of walking around in guilt and frustration and all the doubt that I have. And I've got to come into knowing, oh, thee, O Lord. I got to know you. Thou art my God. For night and day thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality, listen, was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. You waste away. This is the last. I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin, Selah. The reason that so many people and the half of the message is are sick is because they got a hidden sin they won't give up, and the hand of the Lord is upon them to give it up, and they just keep fighting God all the time, and it won't work. You got to get on the way again. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. Now, in just one little closing statement here, I have to come against this. Aren't there certain things that are obvious? Isn't the physical basis of disease, isn't that obvious? And there's so much contrary preaching to it. We don't have to emphasize that which is already emphasized by itself. When someone has a cold, isn't that obvious? Or is it just a symptom? No, there's a lot of preaching like that. Just a symptom, don't pay any attention to it, it'll go away. That's not the truth. Someone breaks a leg, isn't that obvious? And people preach, this is a symptom. Someone cracks their head and there's a large gouge in the top. Isn't that obvious? It needs a Band-Aid or a stitches. If someone's got diarrhea, is that just a symptom? You better listen. You better get off to that bathroom. That's not a symptom. That's a reality. That's the kind of preaching that went on for a good long time, isn't it? It's just a symptom. It's going to be very embarrassing, let me tell you. You feel like vomiting. Isn't that a symptom that something's wrong? I'm trying to get this out here. And I know just those two things there. Somebody can destroy the whole message. But see, what we're dealing here with is reality. There are things that are very obviously wrong sometimes, and it just takes someone to say, yes, this is an obvious wrong. I can't, positive preach it away. I can't do anything. I got to take care of this. And the idea that you can be more spiritual if your body is mortified is false. That's like there's so many people walking around, they've mortified the flesh. Well, they're walking, they're like a casket, and the head is on top, it's tipped up end on end, and they got their head on top, and their feet are below, and their arms are sticking out of this casket wall, because they mortified the flesh. And their bodies are morgues instead of spiritual temples because you know why? They harbor all of this, these cells of anger and hate and fear and self-centeredness and guilt. They're walking around. But then we have the people that do just as David. Thou art my God, O God. I'm going to confess these things to you. I'm going to be realistic. Shouldn't we all be the temple of God fitly joined together? Shouldn't we be mobile temples going here and there and doing these works for the Lord? Did you get anything out of this message today? It's on the way again. And I'll tell you something. If you just get balanced in your walk, that's what it's going to take. A balancing. Instead of just saying, well, this is just the way it is, and this is it's just a half-truth. Nobody wants to preach it because everybody wants to be so spiritual and just claim things away and say, well, if you preach that way, Paul, you're going to be boring. I don't think it's boring to give somebody the truth. Amen. Say amen, somebody, and I just venture to say it's very exciting when you find out. Amen. See? It's the truth, isn't it? God has given us doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and whatever, and Greek preachers and whatever, and you know what I'm saying. Things are the way they are, but there is a balance in the thing. Remember, your body is important. Take care of your body. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Praise the Lord. Does your body feel better now? Just had communion. It should feel good. Talk to your body when you get up in the morning. Body, you're going to get filled up. Lord, Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Come fill this cup, Lord. Huh? That's what we've got to start to pray, people. To God to fill up this temple so the right things pour forth. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You know, you could become part of the body of Christ. Amen. Anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Did I lead you to the Lord yet, honey? Did I? Okay. How about you, honey? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Okay. Amen. Anybody? How about this young man here? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Okay. Did you come with Jesus? Oh, okay. Nice to have you, huh? Well, you're home on leave? Where are you stationed?
Nowhere right now.
Where? Oh, you're waiting for your orders.
Right.
Yeah, I'm waiting for mine, too. Seems like you're always waiting on something, isn't it? But you know what? Wait upon the Lord. And, you know, pray this way. The Lord will send you the right place, and you'll be able to be used where you go. Oh, if I would only known the Lord when I was in the service. Oh, my. How old are you? 19. Yep. I went in the service. I got out when I was 19, just barely 20, but I went in at about 17. I always think back, if I only would have known Jesus. And the Lord always stops me and says, well, you know, he says, you went through those things, and I'll turn them all around all those years, and you can use those too. But boy, what a beautiful thing it is when you're only 19 years old and you got Jesus in your heart. Wow. Ooh. Huh? Just think about that. You have to wait to look like me to get Jesus. Praise God. Boy, I tell you, he saved you a whole lot of problems. Get you out of boys' schools and jails and skid row. Hey, that's beautiful knowing Jesus. Hey. Anyone in here? You didn't miss anybody. You're going to go out and give your body away now? Spiritual body? You've used for the Lord, you know what I mean? Right now we're getting our bus together, our bus to go out and meet the needs of the street people. We got to have the thing done in about 5 days. And right now I donate my time. If you find a place, I'll spray paint that bus. I'll put the mask on. If someone will keep dipping the thing in the paint buckets, I'll paint until it's done. I'll start at the back and go to the front, lay on my back, whatever I have to do, but I want to get that thing painted. Well, yeah, but I got to get somebody that's going to find me a place. I appreciate that. But we're going to get over there, and we'll come and call on you, too. We'll get your address and all that. But anybody else in here that's ready to Rick, did you find a place for the bus? Okay, right away in the morning, and then call me up and let me know, because if they let me run that in there, I'll paint it. And then we're going to gather all the artists together in here, and we're going to put street scenes across the whole bus. We're going to have somebody under a bridge with a little wood and a little fire going there and so on like that. And then we're going to have street people standing in a line for soup. We're going to have somebody laying in a doorway with newspapers over himself and so on like that. And then we're going to have the downtown scene and all. The whole scene is going to be painted over the whole bus. And the artists are going to draw out the outline, and it's going to be paint by number for the rest of us that don't, you know, do stick people. Okay? And then we're all going to fill in all of the...